Hallelujah. There are several expectations that are available to us if we persist in prayer. Hallelujah. So we choose to persist in the name of Jesus. We choose to persist in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. It is written that you uphold all things by the word of your power. And indeed you are upholding Africa at this time of great challenge. You are upholding Nigeria, you are upholding Benue State, you are upholding the city of Makurdi to ensure that the purposes of the devil does not come to pass. We worship you for this knowledge, this acknowledgement in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. So, in considering the subject of faith, it is needful for us to take into account several tools, and we began yesterday to look at the tool of spiritual fact. The tool of spiritual fact. It's a knowledge of that which has already been accomplished on our behalf, because there are two things that we need to focus on as New Testament believers. And the first is the finished works of Christ. The finished works of Christ. And the second is the current works of the Holy Spirit. The finished works of Christ and the current works of the Holy Spirit. So some things that we seek are already finished. It will take a revelation of the availability of a spiritual fact for us to tap into those provisions. Christianity is a faith, is a faith religion. Stumbling into spiritual realities on the basis of our faith requires access to spiritual fact. Hallelujah. So there is still another operating system. There's still another possibility which I would like us to discuss today, and is the possibility of promises. When God deals with us, He either deals with us on the basis of spiritual fact, or He deals with us on the basis of promises. So turn your Bible with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. Now if the Lord permits, we'll begin to go deeper into the subject of faith, and we'll begin to see several layers of possibilities in our walk with God. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is the huge presentation that Peter brings to our knowledge. Hallelujah. A huge presentation. Amen. Now let's break it into fragments and see what the great apostle is trying to communicate to us. He says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It means that the workings of the power of God in our hearts, and the power He's talking about here is dunamis. I've said that there are four Greek words that are used for power in the New Testament, and one of them is dunamis. And dunamis is potential energy. Dunamis is inherent energy. So inherent in the capacities that we have in the Holy Ghost as it functions upon our hearts is a potential. A potential that grants us all that there is for us to function effectively in life and in the way of godliness. It's all captured in the resources that is trapped in that potential that is functional right now upon our hearts. Hallelujah. That, for instance, if somebody has an anger problem, what the scripture is saying is that the resources for you to overcome anger is inherent in your recreated human spirit. And the next thing that we need to go into is how to unlock that potential capacity and to make it a life spring. That's the challenge. Because there is a revelation that we already have inherent capacity to prosecute all that pertains to life, to prosecute all that pertains to godliness in the person of the Holy Ghost, in the measure in which he manifests upon our heart. But it happens to be that our capacity to tap into this potential is tied to the knowledge of God. And this knowledge we're talking about is not academic knowledge, it's spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. I've done a lot of teaching on spiritual knowledge, so I don't want to dabble into that subject right now. But you see, spiritual knowledge is a key to unlocking the potential of the grace of God that is inherent in our recreated human spirit. Now, are you here? Now, there is a likelihood. God has seen a likelihood that we will choose to operate in the flesh rather than wanting to operate in the spirit, because we are used to the way of the flesh. And now God is prescribing a different way of life. There is a tendency that we may not want to operate or exercise ourselves in the rigors of that which is required for us to operate on the spiritual plane. So in order for God to induce us to have an appetite for the possibilities that the spiritual plane will make available to us, one of the things that God did in creating a bait for us to want to hop into the higher life is that he gave us great and precious promises. Now, the reason why he gave us these great and precious promises is so that we can be partakers of the things that are available to us in the warehouse of the divine nature. God is aware that you may likely not want to explore what he has available in the riches of the divine life. So in order to encourage you, what he did is that he gave us great and precious promises so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. See, these promises are actually motivations that God has released to us so that we can partake in that which is in the economy that has been bequeathed to us in our recreated human spirit. Now, let me give you an example. It was Jesus that came and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. Now that's the promise. God knows, God is aware that you are likely to operate within the limitations that are bound to humankind. And in order to give you an escape route so that you can have a reason to want to explore the possibilities that are trapped in the power of God, possibilities that are trapped in the divine life of God that has been bequeathed to us, what he did was that he now sent out great and precious promises. These promises are invitations for us to become partakers of the realities that are contained in the divine nature. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, he will never die. So when you receive that promise, you want to enter into the fulfillment. It's so wonderful. It's an invitation into a reality. So it is through these promises that God gives us a bait so that we can enter into realities that would not have been able to enter into otherwise. So in the very layout, of the content of New Testament Christianity are great and precious promises. And the reason for which God does this is so that we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In the layout of the structure of the New Testament, you will find promises. Now, so I need to give us I need to make a little attempt to define what promises really are, consistent with our faith walk. What are promises? At least you can see from the scripture we just read that promises are invitations to us to participate in higher possibilities that are resident in God. He has given unto us great and precious promises so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. It's not just enough for us to be recipients of the divine nature. You can receive the divine nature and not partake in the divine nature. And God, foreseeing this possibility, now released a bait in form of promises that will stir us up to want to participate in the possibilities that abound with our new status. Let me take you to another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Promises, they are powerful things. You must understand that what we call our life of faith is established on the integrity of God. Our life of faith is what? Is established on the integrity of God. The idea of God insisting that we cannot do business with Him outside of faith is that He wants us to trust Him. Because God has an obsession. And the first fundamental obsession that God has is that He wants to be believed. So you cannot partake of anything that God has without believing, unfortunately. Even though He has paid the price for salvation, not everybody is saved because not everybody believes Him. God has a great obsession to be believed. And so the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe. That's how we connect with Him. That's what satisfies His own pleasure concerning us. When He finds us trusting Him, when He finds us believing in Him, He's excited. So the entire profile, the entire shape, the structure of New Testament Christianity is built on the faith lane. It's built on the faith lane. We can never outgrow the need to walk by faith. Part of the reason is because our God is not human. Our God is in the spirit realm, and you need to walk by faith. You need to interface with Him by faith. Those are some of the discoveries that men like Abraham made that changed the paradigm of their lives. And now that which God has established with Abraham as a person, He wants to make those possibilities available in a covenant. Right? Abraham has modeled it already. Now He makes those possibilities in Abraham's private walk with Him, He has immortalized it so that every one of us can act. It's actually a projection of Abraham. You're actually doing the same things that Abraham has already done. Yes, you are a projection of Abraham. You are a tributary of Abraham in this generation. You are a representative. You are a manifestation of Abraham, because God has designed it to exalt faith as a major fundamental principle in the layout of this belief system and structure of the New Testament. And since it is so, He also added a bit that we want to encourage us, to motivate us to partake of everything that He has available to us in the scope, within the scope of that covenant. And that bit happens to be the promises. So fasting, the embedded part and parcel of the structure of this new system, are promises. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1, the Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, there are some things that the promises are expected to achieve in your life, because it's an economy of promises. Now that we have these promises, oh dearly beloved, you see, there are several responsibilities that you need to, you need to take in order for you to enter into the pavilion, into the reality of these promises. You see, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, holiness is part of the divine nature. Are you with me? The ability to live holy was given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit that is tabernacled in us. You cannot live holy outside of the help of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit's nature. Holiness is His nature. Holiness is not human nature.
is this holy, is God nature. In order for us to perfect this holiness, because of the promises that we have, the Bible is saying that these promises have already given us a challenge of migrating from our current status quo into several expectations in partaking in God in order for us to perfect holiness. Second thing that promises, first, second definition or relevance of promises is that they provide encouragement for us to live above the realm of sin and lust. I need to say something quickly before we begin to go into some level of detail. It provides encouragement. It is because you have received these promises dearly, beloved. It is therefore needful for you to begin to migrate from filthiness, migrate from contamination, migrate, because the divine nature is not filthy. The divine nature is not contaminated. The divine nature is pure. And there is no way you can walk in the fullness of what is obtainable in the divine nature without migrating from the primordial, migrating from the nature of man and the failings of humankind into the abilities of the nature of God and the power that is in that nature. And as we migrate, what we are doing unconsciously is that we are perfecting holiness. It is the promises that is a bait that is introducing us, welcoming us, that is motivating us to come into an arena that can only be seen within the context of the divine nature. Are you with me? You are not with me. Oh, I'm just trying to define. I've not started the work. I'm just defining what promises are. What promises are. And the economy of promises. The idea where promises, the critical nature and the position that promises occupy within the scope of this New Testament provision. I'm just trying to define before we begin to see how promises and faith work. How is it that a promise can become a basis for you to activate your faith? Yes, we have not come to that yet. I'm just showing you what promises are there. They are invitations. It's an encouragement to live above the realm of sin and lust. That's what a promise is. It is an invitation to participate in higher possibilities in God. Hallelujah. All right, let's still go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Then I can begin to open up a little more to show us a few things. He said, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, in order for you to inherit the promises, in order for those inheritances to become yours, all right? Because fundamentally, the promises were given to Abraham. And the dealings that God had with Abraham, God decided to make it a general, his own personal life, what God achieved with his personal life, God now decided that I'm going to make these dealings universal. That's what the new covenant is about. And so when the promises that God gave to Abraham can actually become promises that you inherit, because God, by reason of this covenant, has made it universal. It no longer belongs just to Abraham anymore. It also belongs to you. You are a bona fide recipient, a bona fide heir to those promises, because the Bible says that each and every one of us that believes in Christ have become a bona fide heir of Abraham, and we are entitled to also inherit those promises. But in order for you to inherit it for your own specific life, your own particular life, to enter into the economy of these promises, you will need to operate with two relative factors. And the first factor is called faith. And faith never produces results until you also adopt the cousin of faith called patience. You see? All right. Let me give you an idea before I go on.
Hallelujah. Let me give you an idea.
You know, those days when we went to Bible school, the Bible school instructor will always say, now faith is.
So faith is in the now. Faith is not in the future. Neither is faith in the past. Faith is in the now. And because faith is in the now, when, for instance, God speaks to you, the healing, you have received it in the now, right? But the manifestation of that which you received is going to take a process of time. Your spirit has entered into that economy. But it is now your body that is about to enter into it. You will see the disparity between the spirit climate, the spirit atmosphere, spirit infrastructure, and the natural climate, natural atmosphere, and natural infrastructure. And so your spirit might enter into something that you have not yet stumbled into in the natural. It doesn't mean you have not yet received it, but it has not yet manifested. So whereas faith is in the now, there is a process that faith goes through in order for the things that you have received in the spirit to find expression in the natural. That gap between your actual receiving and the manifestation is bridged by the cousin of faith called patience. Whereas faith is now, but manifestation is later. And so you will have to nurture that which your spirit has contacted through a process of patience in order for you to see the manifestation of that which you have received in your spirit. And that's the reason for the admonition that we prayed about yesterday, that cast not away your confidence, for therein lies what? A great recompense of reward. Many times we hold meetings, many wonderful meetings like conferences and all of that. And at the end of the conferences, people are fired with faith. They are reassured. In fact, the way they are praying, you know that they have received something. But many people, under pressure, under defiant circumstances, under defiant situations, they lose the things that they received. And so they lose the rewards that is supposed to accompany their believing. So you will need to look for a formula of preserving that which you have received in your spirit and how to keep it so that it can go through the needed gestation period before it is given birth to in the natural. Many people don't have staying power in preserving spiritual things. They don't have the ability to stay on until there is a manifestation. They get so excited when the word of God is preached. Their eyes are enlightened. The Holy Spirit begins to illuminate them. And they are so excited. But they don't know that which you received in your spirit is going to go through a test. It's going to go through a test. It is because of what you received that the test is going to be structured for you. The Bible says that there will be persecution because of the word you received. To test you whether you are worthy of that word, then faith now needs a cousin. It needs patience. Hallelujah. The stronger you are, one of the measures of your spiritual strength is revealed in the length of gestation periods that you can survive in receiving, obtaining promises. God spoke something to me 12 years ago and said I should watch it. It came to pass. It's this year. That's 12 years gestation period. Many people will cast it off. Say it's a lie. It's not true. And that test of maintaining that pregnancy until it goes through the gestation period and you give birth to it is called patience. Patience is not the ability to waste time or to allow time slip by. The word patience in the Greek represents a man that holds a bag of yam, for instance, a basket of yam. A man holds a basket of yam. Probably he wants to sell, and people that want to buy are there, and they are pricing, and he's holding that bag of yam on his head. That's patience. Patience is not inactive. Patience is active. He's holding something. He's not mobile, though. He's not necessarily mobile. But the activity of patience is a verb. It's not, are you here?
It's a verb. It's a doing word. It's not a passive word. You need to hold something in place as you are waiting. Holding something in place. Just like a woman knows that it's 9 months. The moment she takes in, then there is an invincible timer that begins to tick. An invincible timer. And the pain that she goes through does not affect the rate of the timer. The timer is not emotional. The timer does not align with your pain and tick faster just because you are in grief. It's independent of your pain. But the timer is running nonetheless. It's running nonetheless. When I see any pregnant woman, what I normally ask them, do you sleep? because I remember, you know, when it becomes 8 months, my wife cannot sleep anymore. So when you wake up in the night, she's awake. You sleep, she's awake. You wake up again, she's awake. So I normally ask, do you sleep? Now, you see, whether you are not sleeping or not, it doesn't affect that timer. The thing is still reading. And many times if you go for a checkup and they scan it, we even predict where the timer is with so much inaccuracy anyway. But just to give you an idea that the reason why we can see time in it is because there's a golden time in the invisible realm that is timing the time where delivery will take place. So that's how it happens. Whenever you receive something in the spirit, then a timer begins to run. One of the tests of your spiritual strength is how long the timer can be going on and you can still maintain the basket of yam. The weight is on you, but you maintain it actively, waiting for the opportunity when you will now formally offload it. Now that is the challenge of patience and faith. Faith is in a hurry, but patience will ensure that you know how to hold the cargo through a certain season before manifestation is authorized. So the Bible speaks about inheriting the promises following a protocol of faith and patience. That's where I'm going to begin my engagement from. There is something called faith and patience. If we are going to obtain the promises, faith and patience. So if God wants you to enter into the higher life, higher possibilities, one of the things he does is that he gives you a promise. The principle of actualizing that promise requires faith and patience. So we can say that promises, based on this scripture, promises are goals that make us advance in the things of God. They are like goals. So the promise is a goal. The promise is a goal. But you will need faith and patience in order for you to obtain it. One of our people wanted to go for youth service. And the person came to me for prayer and blessing. I say, you have not done well. That's not how to do it. The Bible says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Is that true? He also says, believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. There's an aspect of what you want prayer for that only God can do. There's an aspect of what you want prayer for that is assigned to the prophet to do. Now, you want to go on youth service. You don't have anything from God about the youth service. You will not prosper. Even if I bless you, you are empty. You don't have any promise from God. So go back. The thing you are supposed to do is to go back and receive a promise. When you have received that promise, because that's what God does. Oh my. That's God's aspect. Don't go empty. Receive a promise first. Then you can now go to the prophet for him to prophesy prosperity. That even though you have a promise, you can have an accident and die. It's the prophet that will ensure that you prosper, that you go and come back. But it is God that will give you a commitment that would be the description of his operation in your life where you are going. Exactly? All right, so the guy now went to God and prayed and fasted. And then a scripture came into his spirit man. And what was the scripture? That the cruse of oil shall not fail. The barrel of wheat shall not fail. And the cruse of oil shall not waste. Did I say it right? The barrel of wheat shall not fail. Is that so? And the cruse of oil shall not waste. No, the barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail. That was what God told him. So I had to explain that to him. That God is saying that during the course of your youth service, there's going to be supernatural provision. So as I just interpreted, that's God's commitment to you in where you are going. Now I blessed him. And I said, well, you might encounter powers of darkness there. But because I've blessed you, they will not be able to injure you. That's my own portion. I have authority on earth to do that. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall we establish. Believe also the things that kill people. If there's an outbreak and it kills everybody in the community, you will be spared because I blessed you. Because when you believe in the prophet, you prosper. It means you will do well, you will survive. I have the power of survival to give you. But you need to go to God to tap into the frequency of God's commitment for those years. So God says, the cruse of oil, what will happen to it? It shall not fail. And the guy happens to be very good in mathematics. Because he got an A1 in mathematics. I know he's listening to me now. He got an A1 in mathematics. So when he went there, even though he's an engineer, but he's so fluent with mathematics, he now started teaching mathematics. And then, aside the normal school stuff, because he likes teaching, he organized some stuff and began to teach mathematics. Part of what he went with for youth service was a bottle of red oil. Those of you that know red oil, he went, okay, palm oil. So he went with a bottle from home. Because of his teaching, his ability to teach, and it happens to be that in that community there's so much red oil. So the students is teaching for free. After 1 week, they will bring red oil. And his custom is this. When you bring red oil to him, he will be topping his own bottle. He will use what you have brought to top his bottle. It's only from his bottle that he can begin to squander into his meal. He will not use your own bottle. You know, he has a chartered bottle that he tops. And when his bottle is about to be drained, then somebody will bring oil. And then he will top it again. Then he will top it again. Then he will top it again. It was on passing out parade day that the last was allowed to finish according to the word of God. That what? The cruise shall not fail. That word came to pass. And when he came back from youth service, I said, now you are going into the wider world. It's the same principle you are going to use. Don't come to me yet. Go back to God and get another promise for the new dispensation of your life. Go back. Hallelujah. He got a word again. That young engineer today, in terms of financial comfort, he's very comfortable just because he followed this principle. Many of us don't know what to look for when we seek God. If God gives you a promise, like I said, that every faith adventure, every faith enterprise is predicated upon the fidelity of God, the integrity of God. God's word and God himself, they are one. So God cannot tell you something and do something else. And when you begin to walk in integrity, it means that your word and your conduct is one. Are you with me? And so because God's word and God's conduct is one, God can be relied upon. God is dependable. And so if God comes to you and say, you will not die, the entire integrity of God is tied to that word. He didn't use a megaphone to tell you, but he will bring it to pass. Because that's God's nature. His word and his character, they are one. So when God gives you a promise, you can take it to the bank. The promise is a faith bait. The promise is supposed to be an end to the argument that is captured in your soul. The promise is supposed to be an answer to the uncertainty that is the cause of your anxiety. The promise is supposed to be a legal tender for transaction that is supposed to quell your heart with respect to the inconsistencies that are captured in the circumstances. One thing that troubles me is this. Many people I preach to, God promises them things, but they don't stay on the promise. They don't stay on it. Suddenly, maybe there's a new wave of spiritual attack, and they see an octopus coming out of the river. Then they say, they believe attacks more than promises. Meanwhile, the entire faith lane, the entire faith walk is predicated on the integrity of God. God is credible. God can be relied upon. If you depend on God, it's not a risk. And then they come again and say, it's not as if we don't believe this, you know, but yesterday night, I saw an octopus. And the octopus was coming, it was my name, it was calling, it was my name. That was all how one man of God, the man of God called me and said, see, he has something to tell me. That yesterday night when he was praying, he saw Satan. Satan carried an arrow, a fork, and Satan was calling his name. Satan can be busy carrying fork. But the point is, what has the Lord told you? Did he tell you about fork? And you see, people believe Satan. But they say, okay, yesterday I've been doing well over the past through this thing. But yesterday night, I heard, bah! And when I heard, bah, oh my God. So I've heard all kinds of stuff. He said, cast not away your confidence. God is credible. It will take faith and patience. Everything will be triggered to fight against that your conviction that you have acquired because God spoke to you. See, the young man went for youth service and that word came to pass. And it's not as if what happened was that God gave him that scripture. So he came to me. I interpreted it for him. I said, what God is saying is there's a miracle of supply that he's going to do during the course of these years. That is what this season in your life is about. He wants to convince you that his hand can supply for you. And he went there, and God convinced him. So when he came back from youth service, since he was convinced that God supplies, he came back and said, okay, how do we tackle the other phase of my life? I said, the same principle. Go back to him. He will give you another promise. And that promise, you are going to come back. Then I'm going to bless you. And then that thing will begin to work. He didn't come back to tell me about dreams of antelopes. It's not as if he didn't see things from the devil. It's not as if he didn't see resistances from the kingdom of darkness. But that was not as significant as the word that God has spoken. Many times we trivialize the promises of God, and the devil manipulates us to cast away our confidence, and we lose the great recompense of the mercies of God. Promises. It's a very easy way to tap into God's economy of integrity. Very easy way. Are you still with me? Very easy way. Now, I need to tell us, let's go deeper into the economy of promises. There are two types of promises that God gives. The first type is called the conditional promise. And then the second type is called the unconditional promise. The conditional promise and the unconditional promise. I'm going to explain that because you need to know that in your faith walk. Conditional and unconditional. Alright, let me give you the one example of a conditional promise. In 2009, I was in the Middle East. I was in one hotel in the Middle East and I was seeking the face of God. And the Lord Jesus encountered me as I sought his face. And the Lord said to me, when you get back, go and focus on the youth. Focus on the youth. I've given you some grace. I've given you some capacity. Use all of the capacity I've given you to begin to minister to the youth. And if you are faithful, I'm going to open the gates of nations to you. Now, the promise is that God will open the gates of nations. But the condition is that what? Go and minister to the youth and be faithful. That's a conditional promise. Where we are going to see your faith, you are not with me. The evidence of your faith in the face of a conditional promise is that you are faithful, doing, fulfilling the condition. That is the proof that you have faith that that promise is real. Are you there? Oh, I know a great preacher. If you visit him, even today, if you visit him, because he's not dead, if you visit him today and you are a believer, he will welcome you. And he will go into his archive and he will come up with a diary and tell you what God told him in 1978. He will read it out with pride and share with you that he is waiting for the fulfillment. Meanwhile, in those same letters that he is reading to you, there are many, many conditions that he has not fulfilled. And because of the way he is, if you want to raise those issues, you say, come on! When did you give your life to Christ? He will tell you that he gave his life to Christ when him and your father, they were in secondary school. Now, I think December last year is the 40th year he has been waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. Do you know what? He didn't believe in it. Because the proof that you believe in a conditional promise is that you are busy fulfilling the condition. You must understand that the entire faith architecture of the New Testament is rigged with promises. You must understand that. He didn't believe in it. He loved the glorious outcome of the promises. But it was obvious that he was not willing to fulfill the conditions. And even though 40 years have gone by, those things have not come to pass. He still filled with the excitement of the fact that God chose him to fulfill those things. And he's dying now. He's at the point of death, and those things have not come. And he thinks what he's doing is faith, when he doesn't believe in the promise enough for him to begin to fulfill the conditions. 2009, there was I in the heart of the Middle East. It was towards the month, I think it was 9th of December. The place was a bit cold, because there was no need for you to use the air conditioning, which was a very suitable climate for me for prayer, because there was no heat in the environment. And I began to talk to God. Not that I had any special thing to say. I was just talking to God. And Jesus now showed up and said, all right, when you get back, begin to minister to the youth. And if you are faithful, I will open the gates of nations to you. And that was 2009. Then 2019, Jesus now shows up again. This time I was in Akwa Ibom. I was preparing to go and preach the gospel. And I was in my hotel room, just like I was. In that country, in the Middle East. And then Jesus shows up. I said, now, I'm ready to open gates of nations to you. So you go back and resign your appointment. Because you will not be able to manage your secular job and the demands of ministry at this time. Hallelujah. I fulfilled the condition. And the faithful master came back 10 years later. And the discussion continued from the last 10 years. Oh my God, I don't have time. I don't have time to analyze God's discussion with Abraham with respect to his having to leave his father, his country, his kindred, his father's house, all of that. I don't have time to analyze that. Because even though God had spoken, given him conditional promises, the guy took Lot, all right? And God appeared to him. And he thought that God had overlooked the terms and conditions of the covenant, even though he was not obedient to it. But God has a right to appear to you. Probably not on the basis of the first appearance. He can still come to your house. I can consider you to be a terrible man and I can still visit you. Not because there's any agreement. And it was immediately after Lot had left him. That means the final strand of the condition was fulfilled. then God now brought the original matter. See, God appearing to him made him feel that God had overlooked the condition. God is not a man, he's an immortal. And let me say it again, the proof that you are walking in faith, if the promise you are operating with is conditional, is that you are faithful to fulfill the condition. Let me tell you something. You see, all these 10 years, those 10 years till last year, that Jesus gave me this instruction, there were many things that were happening in ministry. I met many bad people in ministry. I met many terrible people. People that hated me, people that were jealous of me, people that, and all of you. That's a normal thing. But it did not change my focus. My matching orders were to go and use the investment of God that was upon my life to affect youths. That was the matching orders. Whether I met bad people, it won't change it. Whether I met people that duped me, it won't change the matching orders. Whether I'm sick, it won't change it. Whether I'm poor, it won't change it. It's superior to my condition. It's superior to my circumstance. It's superior to my situation. Whether you meet thieves and they buckle your house, that's not directly related to the matching orders. You can cry that they took your property. When you finish crying, put on your belt and continue from where you stopped in the condition that the master gave. Oh, you might be going and then somebody came and took 1 million from your hand. Glory to God. We sympathize with you on that matter. But it is not directly related to what he said you should do. What he said you should do, it will be protected. No thief will come there. Nothing will, no, in that area, it will be open. Any day you come and say you want to do it, there will be so much grace, even though they stole from you yesterday. The ability to ignore all of that and to keep the main thing, is a proof that you are walking by faith. Because the devil will do many things that are not related to that thing to make you discouraged in dispatching that thing. And many people's destiny are still in diaries. The man is wonderful. When you come and visit him, you say, are you a Christian? Jesus appeared to me in the 70s. You go and bring diary. That he's been raised as an apostle. Apostle of God. And that he's going to build a 30,000 seater church in the city called Ayangba in Kogi State. But all the conditions that are embedded therein, he has forsaken them. That God is not a man. In fact, in that state, I recommend some psychiatric assistance. Because the conditions were spelled out, they were very clear, and he is not doing it. It means he doesn't believe in the promises. Exactly. Many things will happen to you. You meet bad people. You meet terrible people. Somebody will even look at you at the office and insult you and say you are a terrible person. How is that related to the matching orders? That's not... So I continued. I kept on pressing. You know, if you are going to be a man of faith or a woman of faith, you are going to have to ignore many things. You know, the Bible says that Abraham considered not the deadness of his own body. Those are distractions. It's not directly related. Neither did he consider the barrenness, the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. It's time to consider not. 10 years later, as if the Lord forgot. 10 years later, he came and said, it is true. You have done what I said. You know, the Bible says, if the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? That has to do with the conditions of several promises he has given you. Will you still be busy fulfilling them by the time he comes to check on you? When he came to check on me, I was on that mission. I said, okay, you never knew before, but the time that you were supposed to execute this condition was for 10 years. I didn't know before. And that's why faithfulness is critical. I didn't know it was for 10 years. Now, nations will open to you. Hallelujah. Nations. In my own opinion, Ghanaians love me more than Nigerians. I'm seriously praying that God will release me to go and be staying in Ghana. Because in my own opinion, Ghanaians, they love me more than Nigerians. But how did the Lord do? Sorry, all of you, sorry. But you see, the Lord is the Lord himself that opened that land. In keeping with the promise that he gave. The Lord opened that land. Who will know? Okay. A preacher in Kodi that people don't even like because they feel that, okay, the truth that I'm preaching is going to affect their ministry, affect what they are building. That there's one young man there. All right? And then it's only Jesus that can make what I preach. Huh? Because this is the gospel of the kingdom. Only Jesus can make it rain. Because this is a gospel that is opposed to rebellion. And according to heaven, the only thing that man can do efficiently is to rebel. And that's why the first message that was preached to humankind from the kingdom was repent. You are in rebellion. Repent. Turn around. Let go, forsake your rebellious ways and align with the kingdom of God. Because that kingdom is at hand. Are you with me? Now, so that's the story, my own experience of the way God deals with conditional promises. God began to open doors supernaturally. 5 years into disobedience, a certain preacher came from one country and told me that, I want to open 2 countries to you. Is that bad? Somebody said, I want to open two countries to you. I went back to Jesus because it was Jesus that told me he will open nation. He said, so are you already doing something? He said he didn't send a man. So I now called the man back. I said, sorry, you don't need to bother. Our relationship is not for opening things. When the devil even sees that you are faithful, He will look for something to come and distract. Except it is true that you are watching over what Jesus has said and you are consulting with him, you are likely to be manipulated off track. And when the time came, the doors opened. I've been preaching our message. You know now, all of you here know, our messages have been online for years. Well, if I'm not mistaken, we are like the first set of people in Nigeria that started giving out free messages. And if I'm not mistaken, it's because we started giving message free that messages stopped selling in Nigeria. We built a website years ago and we started putting messages for free, for download. So if it's that one, we've been doing that for long. How come the moment Jesus said, all right, the nations are open, everywhere? It's not because we are doing something new. It is because a season has been declared by Jesus. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because God is faithful. The proof that you are in step in the issue of a conditional promise is that you are busy fulfilling what? The condition. Don't forget. If the Lord says that there's something that is going to do in your life, in the life of your family, and there's a condition, be busy. Be busy. Be busy fulfilling the condition. That is the proof that you believe in the promise. And then secondly, there are promises that God gives that are unconditional. Should I tell you one? My wife. When Jesus appeared to me on the 20th day of October 2003, that was where Jesus told me that the place of my personal assignment in ministry is in Makurdi. Yes. Those of you that know me, I sweat a lot. And Makurdi is a hot town. I would have preferred Jaws. But he knows I sweat a lot because he created me. And he said, your place will be where? Makurdi. When God showed me the place, Makurdi, God now said, I have prepared your wife and you will not miss her. That's an unconditional promise. There was nothing I was to do. I know you had to fast for 7 days dry before you saw your wife. God exempted me from labor. He just came and gave me an unconditional promise. I have prepared your wife and you will not miss her. So I didn't do anything. It was an unconditional promise. So there are two things. It can be conditional And it can be what? Unconditional. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, what does it say? Give me Hebrews 6 12 again. Hebrews 6 12. Hebrews 6 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. So some promises can be conditional, some promises can be unconditional. Now after tomorrow is what, Sunday? Alright, so if the people have been sending me some faith questions, so we'll look for a day to answer them. So many questions right now. So we'll look for a day. It will not be preaching. It will just be trying to bring perspective to the questions. Very spiritual questions. Very, very intelligent questions. And then we'll be looking at those questions and trying to bring answers to them. But I want you to understand the faith subject. We'll just do that for one day. And then we'll continue in the faith adventure. Hallelujah. The Bible says, according as His divine power has given unto us things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and to virtue. It is because of this that He has given unto us great and precious promises, so that we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So if you are navigating with God and the devil wants to stop your navigation, he tries to connect you with corruption. And the link to corruption that is in this age is lost. Now, for a man of faith, if you notice the symptoms of lust, it is an attack. It's an attack on your advancement towards the goal that God has set before you. It is a sign of an emergency, something you need to shut down and deal with quick, decisively. Because lust has the capacity to connect you, to link you with corruption. It has the capacity to link you with corruption. And it is when you are linked with corruption, Satan will give you a different purpose. Just like God has a purpose for you, Satan has an elaborate purpose for you too. And your connection to that purpose is when you skid out of God's instruction, and then you become responsive to the economy of lust. It connects you to a corrupted possibility, and Satan begins to determine what your seasons will look like. We are going to take some time to pray. Hallelujah. If I had a hymn book, I would have sang a hymn to us. Standing on the promises of God. Promises are powerful. Where we are today was given to us as a promise yesterday. And as we navigated, we came into a new season. The Lord spoke about this season. He calls it the season of the discipline of the nations. New possibilities began to open. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. We want to. Do you have, media people, do you have that song, Standing on the Promises of God? I want us to sing this song. Standing on the promises of God. 8-7 what? Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Can we sing that song, Standing on the Promises? Standing on the promises of Christ, my King.
through eternal ages let his praises sing. Glory in the highest I will stand and see, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I am standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt are by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Standing on the promises of Christ. Number four, standing on the promises of Christ, the Lord. Bound to him eternally by love's strong power, overcoming daily with his spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior, standing. I am standing on the promises. Five, standing on the promises I cannot feel. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Standing. I am standing on the promises of God.
So a man of faith stands on the promises of God. He doesn't stand in his own wisdom. What makes him do what he does is because God has given him a promise. The explanation of the life of a man of faith are the promises that God has given him, that he is laboring diligently to satisfy the conditions. Can we pray today? Make us faithful men. Make us men that will never lose sight of what you say. Give us an internalized understanding of the fact that your utterances are backed up by your integrity. Because if God speaks to you, God stakes his life on it. God does not use words the way we do. And in this time where we are in a journey of the renewal of faith, we want to affirm afresh that we indeed are standing on the promises of God. In a moment of time, we want to begin to express our committal to the will of God, our absolute committal to the mind of God, and our submission to God's authority and His sovereign will, and our commitment to the conditions that He has given for which He will actualize the promises that He has given us. May the Lord grant us strength in our inner man to push on despite the contradictions that are in circumstances, in situations, and all the things that the devil does from the external environment to cripple that internalized transaction that we have with God. May He strengthen us with might by His Spirit in the inner man. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Yes, I want to read a scripture from whence we will pray. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. So the principle of promise is an invitation that God is handing out to us to enter into deeper waters in our dealings with God. Oh my. We want to pray briefly and say, Lord, we are willing to go all the way in believing You. We are willing to go all the way in believing You. Has God given you a promise? Has He spoken into your spirit man? And when you look at the circumstances, you don't think there is any possibility for those things to come to pass. You have missed it. You are looking at the wrong thing. We will go all the way in believing You, O God. We will go all the way. We will despise the sickness and believe in You. We will despise the poverty and believe in You. We will despise the dryness that is around, and we will believe in You. We will believe even when it is difficult to believe. We will yet believe, because the path of the just, the life of the just, is a life of faith. We will believe in You. Can you begin to unveil your commitment? How that you will not look to the left or to the right, but you stay on course, believing Him because He's worthy, because He's true, because He's faithful. We believe in You. Iko selima Maria kapasanto bria. Manto seke kapase sila. We believe in You. Masiko bresko velamina kuria. Shendoria mamasika brasketo mizo zela brantamina. Ampero kosika brantesku peta mahaita. Jamanto kovrekete naskubria vabaita kompaleso. Embreskuva samanta lako seki labranta baboria. Jaman kovreke pakuska tameso sela ambre. Jama kovreke sika preskopi la kandelia mamanda. Jama maraka santa. Ika breskomba la subria vabaito kompela. Endo nomosika, endo nomosondela, endo nomosika breskaila, jamanteli kopreskova sabarato, embreskope lamina subria, ababa sek, we will go all the way believing in You. We consider not the sickness, the pain, the infirmity, the poverty. We consider not, we consider not. We will go all the way, we will go all the way. We will go all the way. We will go all the way. Believing in You. Manse kopela mina sika. Premasuko brenda.
Jamakai lakan preskopera mama lakanto. Jemina kadia brantaba bose kate brande. Iskopre ketama salibo. We will go all the way. We will go all the way. We will go all the way. Because God is not a man that he should lie. God is not the son of man that he should repent. So we will go all the way. We will go all the way. He is true. He is faithful. He is kind. He is good. Manco seliko brescove la matalia. Embre mesosela kikosta branda babode gebele. Embrescove la mina subria tababonja mante. Ika brante copria cavalanzo sela. Ikobrescove la mina candara la baboria. Mandara babosche te pregete la ba. Ekate koski. Lamo modia la boconde che te kede kunsala. Ale do bila naskita. Ingo bresconve lamina. Alaisco pre. Alaisco paramo. Alaisco zico pre. Alaisco bela. Alico copisa mina tescompre. Ampalama sapriata babose cabrasca talale. Embrescove lamina curia. Malanto zebriata babolo cosquetamina aletali. Embresco binacadia branta babose kata. Abramina curia. Has he spoken? Has he spoken? He will bring his words to pass. We go all the way with God. We go all the way. We go all the way with him. In Jesus' mighty name. What advantage then had the Jew on what is the profit of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make God's word, make the faith of God without effect? Then Paul says, God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar. A man of faith will call every other thing a lie. And he will pedestal God's word and God's promise to be the only truth in his life. Let God be true. And what? Let every man be a liar. We're asking God for the faith, for that mode of oppression, for that capacity to call every other thing apart from the word of God a lie. Can we ask God for that capacity? That is the way of faith. Every other thing is a lie. Your poverty is a lie. It is temporal. Your lack is a lie. The current oppression that you are going through is a lie. That's not destiny. It's a passage. It is not a destination. Let God be true, and let every other thing be trivialized. The Bible says that Abraham considered not. Let every other thing apart from the word of God for your life become trivial, become inconsequential in your life. Let God be true. Let God be true. Let God be true. Let God be true. And let every other man, every other thing, every other situation, every other circumstance, let it be a lie. Remember, the drill is faith plus patience. Is faith plus patience. Your faith will be proved with time. What you believe will be proved with time. Let God be true, and let everything be a lie. Because we are standing on the promises of God. Let God be true. Let God be true. And let everything around be a lie. Your condition right now is temporal. Your condition
It is temporal. Your condition is temporal. God be true, and every other thing be a lie. Kabo se mina branta baboske tamina kadia. Breseke toke manibakuza mina kante lima kadia. Ebris kovela kuria mama se kontele. Alabrosketo mina capriata baboseke. La menzo breka terza mina cambresca. Bresco brecapatula capetamina kuza lantobre. Manseli cabranta baboria escombrege de Zuza naita Iko brescove natanta belacula minazeli Embreke de la sumina cadia Ambrescove la cusqueta menacadia Asamba la tabranta babose manze Esomena cadia Asabrescope tabenacunda Escope la ica besese La cosi samanta la baboria Escombre capante semina Aito se capalata branta babose Saita Abratanda la babora mascapela cante Samina casa branta babolata Acapalata branta babosa bregadena cante Samina branta baboliba cascazaya Abrata barata, brata barata, brata basamina branta baboliba caria Escope le cosi Ebrama canta barata branta Ebrama samina Ebrama mantelia Let God be true and let every man. Let every man be a liar. Let every man be a liar. Jabo seseli, ebrekote priata baboza mata branta baboria, eskabranta basika, eskabregadela skamparata branta babolata, jemina kadia, alaba santa branta babonsa kete, ika semina, abranta babosa, ika branta balata, akabalaita kasemate, akabalata branta babolata, He will bring it to pass. 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 He is not a man that he should lie. He will bring it to pass. He will fulfill it. He will make it good. Man so sailor. Elena Mokoria. Laka Basanda Babonde. Lebreskenda Semina Branda Babalata. Akaye kosamwa perene kentele dene konde eskombre la baranda baboria elakande pre. That sickness is a lie. That sickness is a lie. That disease is a lie. The pain is a lie. Let God be true. Let God be true. And let every situation, let every circumstance be a lie, be a lie, be a lie. Alama moriba sabriata babalakande, zebra kanta babonde, alama sebre, labarada brada babola, agabalada brada babo, agabalada brada babo, agabalada brada babo, agabalada brada babo, shabalada brada babo, alama namanana basanda. Every kente kenda babonde, eke kedi makanda babola, lika masanda baboze brate kaske, la babala to sebre ata babola kante, aleto sebre, la tore masamina, abranda basoke tale, ala basanda brata baboria, ela masanda baboria. La baboria, escombre zapata la babonde, alla bosebria, e gabalando sapala la baboria, e gabalando besamena, e gabalanda branda babosche, e lambre scombre rapina, abrasanda babolata, e cabalata branda basemina, maico besamata, a cabalata branda baboria, a cabalata branda basemina, la babolo, la basanda babo. I'm a second of all.
Abra Santa Baboro, Abres Hopela Bina, Alela Lolo, Aira Baboria.